Hallelujah. All over this place, let's stand. Let's call on the name of the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your fields of mercy, God. We thank you, God, for your grace. You've been so good to us, Jesus. You've been so good to us, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter 10. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. As you're turning there, Pastor Roy wanted me to clarify it's actually for Christmas for Christ. The youth was very excited that they were about to get $15,000 for She's for Christ. But that offering was over in September. But Christmas for Christ, which is North American missions, goes toward planting churches all across North America. And they'll have that DVD at some point, which will give more details. But Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse number 4. And it says, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And then in Matthew 28, I'm just going to read the first three story we're more familiar with. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Today, I want to speak on the topic, a countenance like lightning, a countenance like lightning. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you so much, God. And Lord God, your presence has been in this place, God. We thank you, God, for the blessings we felt, the presence we felt, God. The joy and the peace that's in this place, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as the atmosphere has been set, God, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, God. Speak to our minds, Lord Jesus. You know, Lord God, Lord Jesus, what needs to be heard in every one individual's life, God. Just pray, God, you minister through your word this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. Daphne Orabah, an author, gave this quote, "The face is more honest than the mouth will ever be. The face is more honest than the mouth will ever be." How many of us, when greeted here at church and said, "How's it going?" We've answered good. When really, without a second thought to actually how we're actually doing. The face or countenance of a man or woman reveals what they really feel or think about a topic or a situation or what's going on in their life. The expressions on one's face convey a story about their life. We have sayings or idioms relating to the face and how expressive it is. Idioms such as, "It's written all over his face." He's guilty. Totally. You could just tell. Or, "He had a blank look on his face." We all know that our faces tell the truth. My wife is not easily surprised. Why? Because I'm around. And she can tell when something's up. I'm horrible at keeping secrets. I actually just put on our calendar, I'm not going to try anymore, but put on our calendar for December on a Friday, family getaway, ... Shh, it's a surprise. Might as well not. I still surprise her, but I'm not good at it because she's always watching my face and how I react, and I can't keep secrets. So we try to mask sometimes our true thoughts or feelings. He had a poker face. Try not to let you know what's going on. We try to keep a straight face, acting like it's not funny when you want to just bust out laughing at the person. Or in the time of loss, we put on a brave face, even though we're hurting, that phrase that we hear, that idiom. We all want our lives to be full of life, joyful, happy, content, and for that kind of life to be reflected on our faces. We like it when the faces of people light up. Man, his face just lit up We like to hear that. We want that for our own lives. We don't want to see folks who are, as the old idiom goes, long in the face. I don't even know where that comes from. Someone probably knows. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but referring to sadness or unhappiness, a place of darkness. There is a war between darkness and light, joy and sadness, and we all strive to put a smile on our face. We don't want the negative in our lives. I don't know about you. Maybe someone in here just like, I want to have negative life. No, you're kind of weird if you do, but we all want positive lives, and we want that for the other. We want the best for other people. This war of darkness versus light is tracked throughout Scripture, the very reason that God robed himself in flesh and came to the earth and he lived and was beaten and crucified, but ultimately rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, was to take that which is in a place of darkness and take it into a place of light. Psalms 51:5 says that we were born into sin and into iniquity, meaning we have a natural propensity to sin. And since we all are born into sin and have that natural propensity, the reality is that we have all sinned. Romans 3:28, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us in here has been perfect all our lives. And what's that result? Romans 6:23, we know that the wages of sin, the payout, what you get for your sin is that there is death. Speaking of eternal death. Wages of sin is death. That is the devil's goal and intent for our lives, for us to join him in eternal damnation. He is described as having come to steal. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's not here to light up your face like, whoo, the devil's here, sweet. No, he's here to kill you, to destroy you, to steal joy and peace and comfort and security. He wants to enshroud you into darkness. Sin, death, and hell is all about keeping us in darkness. In Matthew 8:12, we see one attribute of hell. For it says, for the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's not some like campfire with, you know, hey, it's the lake of fire and we're just camping and roasting marshmallows. No, it's darkness. Hey, what's up? You're here too. No, you're not going to see who's there with you. So the point of Calvary, the purpose of the cross, can be simply broken down to one scripture. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's give a shout to the Lord for his marvelous light. You see, God does not have a life for you of stealing and killing and destroying, but a life that is in his marvelous light. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. John 10:10, go back to that. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But what? I have come, this is Jesus talking, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When you hook up with Jesus, there's no darkness involved. There's no sadness. There's no peace. Oh, life will hit. I'm not talking that your life will be free, but with God, oh, there's peace. There's hope. There's joy. So what does his marvelous life look like? Psalms 30:11 says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. And what? He lifts up our head. We want to have situations face us, and we have a down head, and we just hang our head. That's another idiom, hang our head. God wants to lift our heads up. Numbers 6:26, the Lord told Moses to pronounce his blessing over the Aaron and the priesthood. And it says in Numbers 6:26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the countenance of the Lord, there is peace. There's also safety. Psalms 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. A life that is in his marvelous light is one that is wonderful. Peace, joy, rest, security, life, life more abundantly. I think everyone in this house would want a life like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. So God wants to meet with us face to face and bring us into his marvelous light and keep us in his marvelous light. He doesn't want darkness to fill our lives. I said earlier, there's a war between darkness and light, and the enemy wants you to stay in darkness. Why? Because he is the ruler of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. His goal is to keep us, to keep me, to keep you in darkness. He uses the circumstances of your life, your job, or the lack thereof, maybe, the status of your finances, the your marriage, the status of your 401k, your retirement account, the uncertainty in our country, the busyness of hobbies, career pursuits, on and on. He uses these. This is a troubling world we live in. Uncertainty, sin is running rampant. Perverseness is running rampant. And it can get just, we are bombarded, but, and that is the goal of the enemy. He uses it to weigh you down in a murky darkness. Maybe it's not the darkness of sin, but you are still in darkness with a heavy load from life's pressures, from life situations, from family problems. Hebrews 12:1 speaks to this, saying, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You may be sitting under the sound of my voice right now, living in darkness. You're identifying with the weight of the world, the darkness I'm describing. Maybe you came to church this morning with pressures, with anxieties, with major stressors in your life, depression. You may be sitting under the sound of my voice right now, living in the darkness of sin. You know, and what the enemy's attempted, I did not write the scripture down. There's a scripture that speaks to that. If you are in darkness, those who are in darkness don't want anything to do with the light. And so they shy away, and you might be here getting distracted, already thinking about lunch, already thinking about, man, I got this to do, and this game to watch this afternoon and tonight, and got to get ready for the Packer game tomorrow night, and, oh, what am I going to do? Or, you know, oh, man, look, that guy's picking his nose over there, and you get distracted, whatever. If you're getting distracted, you need to say, God, expose what's going on in my life. Ezra 9:6, with the heaviness of darkness, it says, this is Ezra speaking, and said, oh my God, I am ashamed, talking about the status of Israel and the sin of Israel. I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Maybe you're ashamed of what you've done in life. You're ashamed of where you're at in life. You wrote goals 5 years ago, and you look back over your goals and you're still in the same place, never changed. I've been there. And you're just like, I got to change, but man, I'm feeling this heaviness. The darkness is written all over your face as you hang your head, just like Ezra did. But oftentimes we put on that face, we put on that, oh, everything's good. Proverbs 4:19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. If you're stumbling through life and you may be having some darkness in your life that you don't even know about. and you're just living life, trying the best you had, and it's just like, man, I stumble over this, I'm just stumbling over this, and just, man, life is, there's all these pitfalls, and maybe you're in darkness, and God wants to illuminate your life, and here's something that needs to be changed. Just because we've been had an experience with God and filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not the end. I recently was talking to someone, and they were mentioning that their mentor had talked to them about how there are situations in our life, and we feel like we pray about it and get over it, and it's like, why am I still thinking about it? And then the mentor told them that, you know, there's layers of things. Just because you have, you know, you've prayed about your anger and repented over your anger, and the most part, the big angry part is gone, there may be another layer of anger there and another layer to that darkness in your life. And so we need to readily say, God, expose that darkness. You may say, oh, Brother Phil, you don't know the darkness I'm in. There's no getting out of it. It's so dark and hopeless that if God came by, if God came down into my life for a face-to-face visit to pull me out into his marvelous light, he wouldn't be able to find me. It's so dark in my life. Friend, God didn't go to the Dollar Tree and buy a flashlight, buy some AA batteries, one of those really chintzy, cheap ones that I've got. And, you know, it doesn't do you any good when you're trying to find something. God doesn't have a chintzy flashlight. He doesn't have a shop light like they have in mechanic stores where it's pretty bright. You can see your car. He doesn't have that when it's utter darkness out there in your life. He doesn't even have one of those searchlights on a boat that's just massive, or a prison guard, you know, tower that's just, you know, you see those movies, I don't know. Multiple times, God is described as having a countenance like lightning. Psalms 139, 7-12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I say, you know what, I'm just gonna go in the darkness, surely the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Let me help you understand, if you could clear the words. This is a picture taken from the front of my house looking out into the neighborhood. Last May, June, right after we moved in. And like, wow, Phil, that's a beautiful neighborhood and just a beautiful sunny day. And can I tell you that this picture was taken in midnight? Taken in the dead of night. It was taken in the middle of an electric storm. I was able to capture the moment that lightning struck overhead. It was all in the clouds. And I have a thing on my phone, an app that just takes, 20 pictures a second or whatever it is. And I captured this image in the middle of the night. This picture gives a whole lot more meaning to God having a countenance of lightning. Brother Phil, I'm deep in darkness. Well, do you see any darkness in this picture? Yes, millisecond before this picture was taken, it was utter darkness, complete darkness. And then the lightning showed up, and boom, all darkness is gone. All darkness obliterated. The night became light. One face-to-face encounter with Almighty God, your darkness can be obliterated. Your chains and shackles broken loose with one encounter with the face of God. We look at the story of Moses. You can look later. Exodus 34 describes it. But Moses, like, God, I want you more. He's on the mountaintop. I want to see you. And God's like, you'll die if you see me totally, all my glory. So I'm just going to hide you in the rock, and I'm going to pass by. And just that small encounter of Moses seeing the shadow or the partiality of the glory of God, he came down from the mountain, not realizing that he was visibly changed. His face glowed, and he had to put a veil on his face because of his encounter with God and the change that happened. The light will expose the sin, the habits that need to be broken, the attitudes that need to be changed, the roadblocks to your relationship with God that need to be removed. The light will expose hurt that can be healed. It'll expose a heart that can be mended, heaviness that can be lifted. But so oftentimes we are content with enjoying the show, to speak. I sat out there probably for half an hour, just trying to catch cool pictures with my phone up, just, and I got some really amazing pictures of lightning. You know, and sometimes we're like that. We see that flash of lightning. We come to church, and man, that feels good. Oh, I just feel good about myself. Man, I got my church on. You know, just watch the lightning show. Oh, look at that. That person's just gotten blessed. Man, he's really, that dude's jumping. He must be excited. It's good. It's good. Good to see a show. We tickle our fancy, so to speak. We feel good about ourselves, but we never go after that face-to-face encounter. The Bible says there were multitudes wherever Jesus went. People pressed around him. They followed him. They flocked around him, watching his every move. Oh, what's he going to do next? Woo! This is a lightning show. Man, did you see that guy last week that was healed and the 10 lepers, and they were all completely healed of leprosy? Wow, I'm going to see what he's doing next. But it was the ones who pressed through the crowd, the ones who cried out with a loud voice above the noise of the crowd. It was the ones who tore a roof of a house because they had to get in to see Jesus for their friend who was lame. Those were the ones that who weren't going to be denied a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. They were the ones who were taken from darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, I'm glad that we can feel the presence of the Lord. I'm glad that, you know, we can come as we are and just, you know, no matter our situations, and feel his presence. But the Bible doesn't say come as you are and leave as you are. The Bible says come as you are and, hey, have an encounter and see and get exposed to what's wrong in your life. Because we all said we want to all be happy and have a great life. And I would say, venture to say that all of us want an eternal life that is filled with happiness and joy. Well, there's some things that darkness is not going to be in heaven. And so God wants to have an encounter with you, that he shows you those areas of darkness. Why? So you can remove them. He can help you remove them and bring you in the light. Why? So you can spend eternity with him. Why? Because his countenance is like lightning. The musicians can come quickly. If you would stand with me. Jesus says in Luke 4:18, he's preaching, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you need a healing this morning, we have a God whose countenance is like lightning and wants to take that darkness, that heaviness of an illness, or that heaviness of a hurting heart right out of your life. And we want to encourage you to come. If you need healing, come down to the left, your left down here. Bible says in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Abide meaning where you make your home at. God wants you to abide in light. If you have a situation in your life that is plaguing you, an addiction, a circumstance, a chain, a bondage in your life, come to the front. Because one encounter with a God who has a countenance like lightning, that darkness will flee. In Acts 26:18, Jesus says, came to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. If your darkness is sin, if there's something in your life that you know is wrong, you know you're not doing right, and the tendency is, I'm in darkness, I'm not going to even approach that altar, because I just, some way in our minds, we think, I just want to live here and be miserable. But God has a life for you if you just say, you know what? I need to make a change. And we want to encourage you to come down to the right. If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never had a face-to-face encounter with the countenance of lightning of our God, won't you come tonight, this morning? Won't you come and have that encounter with God? He will obliterate the darkness in your life, in my life.
All things are
new. Oh, we need you, Jesus. We need you, God. Here.